As the internet emerged 10 years ago, many believed it would help bring down authoritarian governments around the world. The ultimate test of this theory may well be China, which remains a one-party state despite economic and social reforms. We have the first of three reports now from NPR's Rob Gifford about the internet's effect on the world's most populous nation. Today he examines the economic impact.
Having suppressed the pro-democracy demonstrations of 1989, the Chinese government offered an unspoken deal to the Chinese people. Stay out of politics and you can do anything you want, especially get rich. And most people, stung by the killings in Tiananmen Square, bought the deal. China's leaders set about embracing anything and everything that would help them make China the economic powerhouse they long for it to be. And that meant that when the internet emerged in the mid-90s, the government took a strategic decision, and one that may have seemed unusual for a one-party state. It embraced the web, developed it, encouraged it, knowing China couldn't become great without it, and essentially gambling that it could harness and control the way the internet in China developed. There are already something like 90 million people on the internet in China today, and economically so far, that gamble seems to be paying off. Xie Xuxiao doesn't need to be told the internet can help his business. As he supervises workers at his factory in the industrial eastern town of Wuxi, the 27-year-old takes phone calls from all over the country. Xie grew up in a poor rural area, but as so many have, he left his village to come to this booming coastal town and took a job at an electronics factory. The company was doing moderately well, but the ambitious 24-year-old with a mind for business one day saw an ad in a local newspaper for a company called Alibaba.com. Alibaba is the leading Chinese business-to-business or B2B internet company and allows Chinese firms, however small, to post their details for a fee on its website, which can then be seen all over China and now translated into English all over the world. Other companies can then go to the site and contact the supplier directly. Xie says this was only 2 years ago. His boss was very skeptical about paying the $300 fee to join Alibaba. So Xie paid it himself on the understanding that he'd be reimbursed if the company made money through the net. He got his money back within a week. Within a year, he doubled the company's income by using Alibaba and tripled it in the following year. A few months ago, he left to set up his own manufacturing company. And a large percentage of his business comes from companies that hear of him through Alibaba. Xie says not only has the net revolutionized the bottom line of his business, it's also starting to fundamentally transform the way business is done in China. Traditionally, it involved a lot of networking with local officials, wining and dining them, frequently bribing them. Now, says Xie, if you use the internet, much of that is gone. The purchaser can find the supplier, and you just do business directly. The website that Xie used, Alibaba.com, is one of several that's starting to revolutionize urban China. Based in the eastern city of Hangzhou, its offices, housing 1,900 smart young employees, are a hive of industry. In a land of superlatives, Alibaba's superlatives seem more impressive than most. They say they have 4.6 million businesses using the service in China, 1.8 million more in some 200 countries around the world, and that 8 to 10,000 new companies join Alibaba every day. The company recently began to publicize its services to U.S. purchasers in a number of advertisements on American television.
Now there's a place on the internet where buyers can find qualified suppliers from China and around the world.
Alibaba's CEO is Jack Ma, a former English teacher who's as close to a rock star CEO as it gets in China's business world.
The mission of Alibaba is making business doing much easier.
Ma is a small man with a big smile and even bigger ambitions.
30 years ago, when Bill Gates said everybody on this desk, there will be a desktop, people say, are you joking? Are you crazy? You know, see what's happening today. So I was seeing 30 years, everybody doing the business through the internet, and you work on that, you'll get the trend.
Crucially, says Ma, the government is encouraging him and other entrepreneurs every step of the way. But the economic impact of the web in China is not just to be found in the fancy offices of internet startups. Well, you wouldn't have thought it, but it's in dingy, smoky internet bars like this one down a back street in central Beijing that a lot of money is changing hands. Not literally, of course, virtually. 9 o'clock on a weekday evening and this place is packed with young people. There must be 60 or 70 people in here behind these rows and rows and computers, and they're all busy playing online games. Liu Chen is a confident, mature-looking 17-year-old. He's one of the only child generation with time on his hands and money to spend. Liu is playing the game Warcraft for possibly the 100th time this evening. Many games like this have been free for online users up to now, but will soon start charging a modest sum, $3 per month, to play online. Liu says he's likely to pay it because he loves playing the game so much. With something like 13 million Chinese youngsters now playing online games, that adds up to a lot of money for the video game market, which analysts say will this year be worth around $800 million in China alone. Socially, parents here, as everywhere, worry about the detrimental impact the web is having on young people. But there are plenty of people, like Peggy Yu, who celebrate the economic and social impact the web can have. She runs the largest Chinese online bookstore, called Dangdang.com. It's often compared to Amazon, and Yu herself is frequently compared to Amazon founder Jeff Bezos.
Internet is transforming China and the consumer culture. It's bringing transparency of prices to consumers across the board nationwide. I think this transparency of information forces business establishments to be more competitive. Consumers are just becoming better educated. Consumers are becoming more demanding in their rights.
In other words, the internet, as well as giving people more choice, is raising Chinese people's expectations. The big question is, can the government keep its people's expectations focused on the economy? Or does it naturally follow that when people can choose their books online, their business partners online, their video games, their pizza toppings even, sooner or later, they'll want to choose their leaders? Rob Gifford, NPR News, Beijing.
On Friday, Rob Gifford will look to answer that question when he examines the political impact of the internet in China. But first, tomorrow, he examines the social impact.